Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack, liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince of the power of the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Friend, there's a big difference to be made between domestic terrorists using protest as a cover to overthrow America and genuine protesters concerned about police brutality. So hang on for a wild ride. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Trump deemed these rioters domestic terrorists, and he's dead on. That's exactly what they are. And I'm convinced the terrorism that we're watching has nothing at all to do with George Floyd's death under the knee of Officer Chauvin, or however you say his name. I've watched the video, and even when you take a look at what the media doesn't want you to see, because, you know, they've got an agenda, right? If you see all of it, well, then you might not get the right idea of it. So they decide what you're supposed to think about news, and so they craft the news to make sure you think that way about it. It's very wicked business going on here, friend. But even when you see the stuff they try to hide, the bottom line is, it definitely appears to be a clear case of excessive force, something civil society cannot and must not tolerate. Whether you like it or not, however, Chauvin deserves his day in court, just like Floyd and his family deserve justice for what, by all accounts, appears to be a reckless act of murder. And I understand Chauvin is charged now with second-degree murder. And the three officers who stood by and did nothing when they heard Floyd protest that he could not breathe, they're being charged with aiding and abetting. But the riots have nothing to do with justice. They have nothing to do with white racism or systemic racism in the police force. Sadly, it has everything to do with an election upcoming and a desire by those who have been manipulating the black community for decades create a situation in which they can put a rift between Trump and the black community, the black vote. It's about an upcoming election. That's how wicked these people are. The Dems had to find a way to break the economy in order to take that away from Trump. And now they have found a way, they think, to break Trump's popularity in black communities. That's what this is about. Mark my words, Soros money is all over this. Give it the smell test. Yep, that's Soros money, all right. And the deep state is totally orchestrating this nonsense. Mattis, the current Pentagon chief, whose name I don't remember, don't have time to go get it. They are deep state apparatchiks. Look, the Democrats have been in conspiracy mode to stop Trump from the beginning, during the election, and then after the election. They have involved in a conspiracy to conduct a coup against the President of the United States of America. That's what's going on. They've been unable to do it, and so now they've come up with a major assault on America. This ginned up reaction to COVID-19 is a farce. I'm not saying COVID's a farce. I'm saying this ginned up reaction to it is a farce, contrived to destroy the economy, because that is a major win for Trump, and to punish the middle class business entrepreneur because they're the main body of support for Trump, and to punish the Christians because they are the main body of support for Trump, which is why they don't want to get the churches going on. That's what's going on here. It's all about November. Antifa and BLM rioting, killing black Americans. Listen to this. They're rioting because a black American was killed under the knee of a white officer. And so they're going to kill black Americans in their riot. Don't be fooled by this nonsense. That makes no sense. You've heard me say, when something goes on that makes no sense, step back and look for the sense. When you find what's really going on, then you see the wickedness at work here. Destroying black businesses, attacking innocent black people who have worked their entire lives to make a career for themselves. Well, I understand, I've counted five upstanding, wonderful black Americans who so far have been murdered by these rioters, these terrorists, whose agenda is to enslave America and to stop Trump from being elected in November. While we were sleeping, Satan has established a major network of evil men and women who are intent on pulling America out from under God and into his power, that we might be just dropped off into hell. What we are up against is a highly organized and powerful cabal willing to do absolutely anything to keep power. And I mean anything. Some of you might remember I warned you about this a little while back. I didn't foresee exactly all how it would play out, but I said, these people are desperate. They will do anything. And so watch out for it. And look, we're getting it, man. They are totally deranged. They have no moral compass. Right and wrong mean nothing to them because in their mind, right is getting Trump out of office and pushing Christians underground and punishing those who supported him. That's it. And wrong is any other result. Truth and justice mean nothing to these people because truth and justice to them is getting Trump out of office, punishing those who supported him. That's it. While we were sleeping, this satanic cabal has trained hundreds of thousands of young people over decades to hate God, hate Christ Jesus, hate Christians, hate America as founded, hate the Bible. So now what we're up against is a violent, murdering mob that wants to burn down America, and it's all to protect the power they have gained over decades, or their puppet masters, really. It's to protect the power that their puppet masters have gained over decades while we slept. But the church is hearing the Spirit's call to awake to righteousness and sleep not, and we'd better do it. I'm so deeply disturbed by what has been going on. It would literally take me, the next five shows probably to sort it all out. The stuff that I'm dealing with right now. But here's how I'm going to start. I appreciate so much Candace Owens, and I would vote for her for any office for which she was a candidate if I could. She spoke up regarding this George Floyd atrocity. Chauvin, the accused, is charged with second-degree murder, and that means the district attorney of Minnesota has decided Chauvin intentionally murdered Floyd, but it was not premeditated. Now, that's an upgrade from the original charge, which was third-degree murder, and that means that it wasn't intentional, and it wasn't premeditated, but the death did occur as a direct result of his negligence and his actions. Now, I have to say up front that occasionally Candace uses language unbecoming, if you know what I mean. And that's none of my business particularly, but I want you to hear what she had to say, and I want to air it for you on my show. And so we broadcast over the public radio waves, and so I got to beep that stuff. So I came up with a clever way to mask the language. It's not very much of it, just a little bit. She works for PragerU. I understand she's running for Congress. She's a fine black conservative. You know, she's the one that founded Blexit, by the way, and that's just in case you're not real clear on who she is. All right, I want you to hear from Candace Owens. Here she is.
Hello, Facebook family. I have decided to do this video. It has been weighing very heavily on my heart and on my mind as well. And it was something that I wanted to say early on, but there were so many emotions and so much pressure for me to go with the popular opinion about who George Floyd was. And sometimes it can be difficult when there are just so many external pressures to say what you believe. And this was an instance where I felt like my silence would have been better in the beginning. But the more that I think about it, I realize that we are being sold a lot of lies, and at the detriment to the black community, at the detriment to the white community, and at the detriment to America as a whole. So I want to come out and say that I do not support George Floyd and the media depiction of him as a martyr for Black America. I'm going to explain why, and I hope that some of you guys will understand where I'm coming from. I have spent a considerable amount of time reading a lot of Black authors that I think are some of the most brilliant Black Americans breathing. Walter Williams, Shelby Steele, Thomas Sowell, and I recently came across something that was an idea that was planted into my head by Shelby Steele, and it has been something that I cannot forget. It is something that will stick with me for the rest of my life. And it is something that I hope for the Black Americans that are watching will stick with you for the rest of your life. Shelby Steele said that the Black community is unique from other communities. Our culture is unique from other communities because we are the only community that caters to the bottom denominator of our society. Now, let me explain what that means. It means to say that not every Black American is a criminal, not every Black American is committing crimes, but we are unique in that we are the only people that fight and scream and demand support and justice for the people in our community that are up to no good. You would be hard-pressed to find, a Jewish person who has spent 5 stints in prison, who commits a crime and dies while committing a crime, and that the Jewish people champion and demand justice for. You will be hard-pressed to find this in white America. You'll be hard-pressed to find this even in Latino America. If there is a person that is spent multiple times in prison, you are not going to see a bunch of Latinos coming out demanding justice for this person, even if, and I want to be very clear, what I'm saying is not any defense for Derek Chauvin. I hope Derek Chauvin gets the justice that that he deserves to be implemented upon him, and that the family of George Floyd deserves justice for the way that he died. But I also am not going to accept the narrative that this is the best the Black community has to offer. For whatever reason, it has become fashionable over the last 5 or 6 years for us to turn criminals into heroes overnight. And it is something that I find to be despicable, and it's something that I refuse to stand by any longer, and I am not going to play a part in it, no matter how much pressure comes from Black liberals and Black conservatives as some token of people wanting you to believe that this is the only way you can be Black, is you have to say this was wrong and that this person was amazing. I won't do that. George Floyd was not an amazing person. And as soon as this video hit the internet, I did just basic searches. Everyone jumped on it and called and was looking at the police officer, and everyone agrees that the police officer was wrong and the police officer has been arrested. So that is not the reason I'm not discussing that, is because that is not something that has been misconstrued in the media. He has been turned into the devil that he is, and there is no reason for us to harp on that any longer, because white Americans are not uplifting Derek Chauvin as a victim or pretending that he's an amazing human being. But George Floyd is being uplifted as an amazing human being. For those of you who have not yet seen the clips and did not pursue or wait for more clips to come out, first and foremost, George Floyd at the time of his arrest was high on fentanyl and he was high on methamphetamine. This came back in both of his autopsy reports. If you pursued the 911 transcript, you can see the person describing somebody who is out of their mind high, and which is what made the person fearful, because he tried to use a bill that I guess was a fake bill to purchase something, and then he was outside acting weird, and they, in their police call, said that this person was obviously distorted and on drugs. When he is put into handcuffs and is put against the wall, a baggie of what looks to be like cocaine or it's a white baggie that he drops onto the floor, that you can see in an image if you look up the clip. The media is refusing to circulate it. You can find it on Twitter. If you use DuckDuckGo and look up George Floyd baggie, you can watch the clip yourself with your own eyes. He had drugs on him at the time of his arrest. Now, barring all of that, nobody thinks that he should have died during this arrest, but what I find despicable to be is that everyone is pretending that this man lived a heroic lifestyle when he didn't, and I want to talk about what his lifestyle was leading up to this moment, and why I refuse to accept the narrative that this person is a martyr or should be lifted up in the Black community, and that we should be buying t-shirts with his name on it, okay? So, here we have, first and foremost, let's start from the bottom of his record. And by the way, I am not saying that if you have a record, you don't deserve a second chance. I think people get arrested, and some people can serve time in prison, and I believe in second chances, but I do draw the line when it comes to second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth chances. 1998, he spent 10 months in prison for theft with a firearm. That was the first prison stint that I could find on him. In 2002, he spent 8 months in prison for a cocaine offense. In 2004, just 2 years later, he spent another 10 months in prison for a cocaine offense. In 2005, he spent another 10 months in prison for having less than 1 gram of cocaine on him again. In 2007, and this was the biggest instant that I had that made me realize this was a horrible human being that I am not going to pretend was a good person. In 2005, a woman who was pregnant received a knock at the door, and she went to the door, and the person pretended to be someone that worked for the water department. So she opened her door and quickly realized that the person at her door did not work for the water department and attempted to slam it. At the moment that she was attempting to slam it, a Ford pulled up and another 5 men jumped out of the car, and one of which was George Floyd, came up to the door and they forced their way inside to her home, inside of her home. Mind you, this woman is pregnant. At that point, George Floyd took out a gun and pressed it to her stomach. She was screaming, begging for her life, and he put her inside of her living room and instructed one of his criminal friends that was with him to watch her and to make sure she didn't leave the living room. So he was playing guard while they ransacked her home looking for drugs and money. They did not find drugs. They ended up taking, I believe, her wallet and her cell phone. Fortunately for her, her neighbor observed what was going on and caught the license plate of the people as they pulled off and called 911. And when 911 was able to, they were able to track down the car of which George Floyd was the driver, and they arrested him. And 2 years later, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison for that instance. Now, you can say the media is portraying it like he was just getting his life together after, you know, being released in 2014 following that incident. He was just getting his life together and moved and was going to start afresh. I'd like to believe all of those things. And there's a gap, and he never got in trouble for 5 years until this incident when the police were called on him again. But you are defying common sense to believe that this person suddenly became an exemplary character but happened to be high on fentanyl and methamphetamine and trying to use a bill, a fake bill, to purchase something. And so, in my opinion, George Floyd was a criminal. He was a criminal. And just because he was a criminal doesn't mean he deserved to die at the knee of a police officer. But it does mean that I am not going to play a part of the broken black culture that always wants to martyr criminals, who wants to pretend they were these upstanding human beings that just wanted to help society, that just wanted to reach out and uplift society. And he has a rap sheet that is long, that is dangerous. He was an example of a violent criminal his entire life. Okay, up until the very last moment. Now, again, I want to be clear. This is not a defense for Derek Chauvin. No one that I have spoken to, no one in the news is defending Derek Chauvin. He is getting what he has coming to him. Okay, great. But why are we pretending that this criminal should be upheld as a citizen, as a martyr in Black America? A martyr for a fake narrative, by the way. Police brutality, racially motivated police brutality, is a myth. Okay, so let's get into that. Not only are we using this death, right, and allowing it to cause these riots and protests, pretending this was some upstanding citizen in the black community who was tackled down and killed for no reason, right? Not only are we allowing it to inspire riots in which black people are dying, in which actual upstanding black citizens are dying. Case in point, I'm sure you guys have all now seen David, the sheriff that just was shot and killed because he was trying to protect a pawn shop. Please look him up if you haven't seen it. I'm blanking on his last name. His first name is David, who was shot and killed for trying to protect a pawn shop from looters. An upstanding citizen, an actual head of a police. He was the head of a police his entire life, 77 years old, did everything right, right? So we don't have to kill upstanding black citizens because a non-upstanding black citizen, a career black criminal, died. Now, did he deserve to die in that manner? No. I can't say it enough. No, he didn't deserve to die in that manner. But I will be if the rest of us upstanding black citizens have to suffer because of this incident that rarely ever happens in America. So here are some numbers for you people that are still believing that police brutality is a real, racially motivated police brutality is a real thing. First and foremost, okay, you have a 25% higher chance as a violent white criminal of dying at the hands of a police officer than you do as a black criminal. Last year, a total of 9 unarmed black men were killed by police officers, and 19 white men were killed by police officers. For those of you that aren't good at mathematics, right, you might be thinking, oh, but Candace, white people represent 60% of the population, and black people represent just 13% of the population. It doesn't matter what percentage of the population you represent, it matters what percentage of the violent criminal community you represent. And unfortunately, black community commits a disproportionate amount of crimes compared to the white community. Let me tell you, 6% of the population, right, black men, 6% of the population account for 44% of all murders in this country, according to 2018 statistics. That is what you call a gap. And yet white people who represent 60% of the population, we represent 13, black men are 6%, only represent 50% of all the murders, right? That makes no sense. That makes no sense. A 6-point variation in a community where we are extreme minorities. We commit 50% of all violent offenses, evenly split, and we're only 13% of the population, okay? So we have a lot more encounters with police officers. And don't say the police officers are coming around because we're black. I'm talking about violent criminals. I'm talking about murder, 44% of murders, okay? You want to talk about real statistics? The police officers have way more to be fearful of in the black community than the other way around, okay? We commit, on average, a police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a black person than the other way around, okay? So this entire narrative is complete smoke and mirrors. It's all made up. It's just election fodder. It's white versus black because it's an election year, not because black Americans are suffering at the hands of police officers more than white Americans. Do some police officers do the wrong thing? Yes. I don't think there's anybody in the world who has not encountered a police officer and thought this person is an absolute jerk who is power tripping, whether you are black or white. We know they exist. And we know they're always going to exist, by the way, because they're human beings. And sometimes human beings suck. In fact, if you want to attack a community for accidental slayings or brutality, did you know that doctors accidentally kill 250,000 people every year because of mistakes? Do you know that there's been doctors that have been arrested for being serial killers, that just were killing people because they wanted to? Do we protest and boycott doctors? Do we assume all doctors are horrible human beings because some doctors are? Or do we realize that society is not perfectible? People suck in every profession. It is no excuse to paint society with a broad brush. It is certainly no excuse to accept a Democrat narrative, okay, that black people are being disproportionately hunted down by police officers because of the color of their skin. You want to know the best way to avoid not being brutalized by a police officer is to limit the amount of encounters you need to have with them, especially when it comes to violent crimes, okay? I am not going to stand for this continual bottom-feeding narrative of us martyring people that have had 5, 6, 7 stints in prison and then pretending they were upstanding heroes to our community. Excuse my language, it's absolute, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of having to play pretend. I'm tired of sitting here and being called a coon or Uncle Tom because I won't play this bottom-feeding game with you. If you want to hang up posters of criminals on your wall and talk about them as your martyrs, do it. Do it. You can do it. Kobe Bryant was my idol, okay? I'll keep a photo of Kobe Bryant. You can keep one of George Floyd and pretend he was an upstanding human being that just once or twice put a gun across a pregnant woman's belly. Could you imagine that woman right now? That black woman, by the way, right? Watching everybody pretend this person was an upstanding human being who just at the age of 42 and 5 prison stints was going to get his life together. I mean, it's embarrassing. We are embarrassing in that regard, right? This is why we have a cycle and a toxic culture, because nobody wants to tell the truth in black America. It's so easy to be a victim. It's so easy to ask black white people to bow down and apologize and do all these things for us. It's crap. It's crap. It's a lie. It's a farce. Our biggest problem is us, okay? It's why we don't talk about it when black-on-black crime happens. It's why we don't talk about it when 40 black people are killed in one weekend during Memorial Weekend in Chicago. We don't want to talk about any of that stuff. We don't want to talk about Baltimore. We don't want to talk about New Jersey. We don't want to talk about any of these places where black people are being slaughtered by other blacks, because that would mean that we had to be personally accountable, right? That would mean personal responsibility. We don't do personal responsibility in our community. We don't do it. We blame white people, right? We only point a camera to white people when they do something, even though we do it at a way higher rate to ourselves, right? We celebrate our drug dealers. We're the only community, right, that would ever create hashtags to free people from prison because they committed crimes, like free Meek Mill, free this rapper, free this rapper. How hard is it to not spend multiple times in prison? How difficult is that? Is that too hard for us? Is that way too high of a mountain for us to scale, to do the right thing, to be upstanding citizens? That is the call to action that I have for Black America with Blexit. Like, why do we keep fulfilling this narrative? What do you think the perception of us, by the way, is on the outside? You ever look at the comments? You ever go into like an anonymous blog and see what people say? Oh, just black people being black people. I see those racist comments. Oh, just black people got a riot. Black people got to be black people. You know how they are. Oh, just black people being ignorant. That is the perception. When people get to be anonymous and talk about us, that's what they think about us, right? They think that We are the kind of people that will forever uphold criminals as the martyrs of our society, that we will never take account for the things that we do wrong, right? That we don't have it within us to educate ourselves to get ahead. And that for those of us that actually do it, well, we get called coons, right? You got Condoleezza Rice, she's a coon. Larry Elder, he's a coon. Dr. Ben Carson, brain surgeon, first ever to perform the surgery of splitting twins that are connected by the head. He's a coon, right? What a loser he is. What a stupid guy he is. Kanye West says he's not going to be told to do it because of the color of his skin. He's a coon. He's lost. He's in the sunken place. The sunken place. That's where we all are, right? Because we demand more and we will get more out of this society because we're going to get ahead, right? That's what's going to happen. We're going to get ahead. Black conservatives get ahead because we don't subscribe to this narrative. Because you're not going to catch me outside trying to grab a TV pretending that it's because a martyr named George Floyd got killed. Okay? I'm a big believer that no matter what color you are, you do stupid things, you win stupid prizes. Okay? We have to do better. We have to teach our kids better. Or we're not going to get ahead. Right? Anyways, this is just a rant because I have been feeling super, super, super annoyed at these depictions in society. I have no apologies here to make. George Floyd is not my martyr. He can be yours. That's all I have to say to Black America.
Thank you, Candace Owens. No commercials today. We're going to move right on into the next segment. That was Candace Owens. You can follow her on Twitter, Facebook. You can catch her show on PragerU. She was speaking to Black Americans. Now I want you to hear from another great Black American, David J. Harris. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter. He is a conservative commentator. His analysis is consistently brilliant and spot on. Mr. Harris is also responding to the Floyd issue, and he has something that he wants to say to white Americans, especially to those who are kneeling. Now listen to this.
I am seeing something that is completely disturbing to me. And when I say to me, I mean as an American first, then I mean as a member of the Black community. I'm seeing people, white people, that are getting down on their knees and asking for forgiveness for nothing that they ever did wrong. It is disgusting. Now I understand so many people out there in the white community, you want to say, I'm not a racist. You feel this guilt. You feel guilty over the color of your skin. And you feel guilty because the mainstream media and Black folks want you to believe that oppression is your fault, that racism is your fault, that all the injustices that Black folks have ever gone through is your fault. Well, they are wrong. They are dead wrong. You don't have to feel guilty for anything. If you're a good person, if you're somebody that treats people with respect, with dignity, you care about your family, you care about others, you may not even see color. All of this is just totally foreign for you. So many messages I'm getting from people that say it's foreign. I'm not a racist. I've never looked at people like that. That is the majority of America, friends. Yet we've got a mainstream media that is hell-bent on creating racial division in this country, and it's disgusting. It disgusts me, and it's sad that so many good people out there feel the need to say, I'm not a racist, and I'm sorry for my ancestors, and you are actually getting down on your knees in front of Black folks. Friends, those Black people are racist. I'm just going to say it like it is. They are the real racist. And you don't kowtow to racists of any color. You don't go along with anything they say. You don't agree with anything they say. You should just high-step yourself away from anybody of any color that says, you need to do this to me because of the color of your skin. You better just walk away. Feel confident to walk away. Keep your head up high. Keep your shoulders back, and you'll understand that you are doing the right thing. It is disgusting to me that in this country, the greatest country in the history of the world, with the most opportunities given to all people, including the Black community, that there are Black individuals out there that feel so bitter inside for them, for their own issues. People got issues. Maybe they dealt with one person that was racist. Maybe they dealt with a couple instances. Maybe they dealt with a racist cop. That doesn't mean all people are racist. That doesn't mean all people owe you an apology. That doesn't mean all people need to be on their knees begging for forgiveness. If you're somebody out there that thinks that you have the right to demand somebody get on their knees and ask you for forgiveness, you disgust me. You got some real issues. And it's not with any person on this planet. It's with yourself. You hate yourself so much that in order to make yourself feel better, you got to make somebody else try to applaud you. That's what's really going on, no matter what color. But right now I'm talking to all the black folks that think it's their duty to make white people feel beneath them. That is racist. That's the definition of racism. You're being racist. And you need to knock it off. And to the white community or anybody that's felt guilt, on behalf of the black community, forgive us. I didn't do it, but I'm going to take the blame. Forgive us, for we don't know what the heck we're doing. Don't paint us all as these high-minded, pompous asses that feel like everybody owes us an apology. Don't paint us all bad, because we're not. But on behalf of the black community, please forgive us and keep on going about your business. Live your life to the best that you can, as we all should every single day. And together, we will unite under one umbrella of love and love for each other and love for America. And we will together make this country greater than it's ever been. And all the rest of the people that have issues with race, they can just fluff off to the side. But don't give them any attention. David J. Harris Jr. here. If you like my messages, please share this and subscribe to my podcast. I know you'll love it. The David J. Harris Jr. Show.
Okay, soldiers, speak up and charge the gates of hell.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.